Okay, if you would turn to Acts 1. The Lord quickened something to me a few minutes ago when we were worshiping. The teaching tonight is Praise the Lord on High. Let me tell you something. There's something you can do that will terrorize demons. And you can do it, listen to me, at any moment of the day. I'm going to say that again. There's something you can do that will terrorize demons. And you can do it at any moment of the day. If you are born again, you have an awesome, incredible weapon in the spirit world. Unfortunately, most of us are not cognizant of the weapon. We don't know how to wield it. We're kind of oblivious to it. We're ignorant of it. But there's an awesome weapon we have. And it can occur at any moment of the day that you choose. And we'll talk about that. Acts 1 starts out Jesus' last words before he ascends to heaven. Verse 8, he said, you'll receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. What he says, guys, I've worked with you for years. I've trained you, poured my life into you. You are the ones who are going to take it, and you're going to spread this thing around. And the very next verse, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, one time Jesus said, in John, he says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He says, will this offend you? He said, one day I'm just going to literally float right up into the air and be wrapped up in clouds and disappear. Now that was a sight to see. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, you know, they couldn't take their eyes off of it. I mean, he disappeared in the clouds. They just up there go, ah. I mean, they just, a bunch of guys standing looking straight up. Two men stood by them in white apparel, probably cleared their throat. Suddenly they looked down and there are these two guys standing there in white apparel. How many were there on resurrection morning? Two angels? How many angels are there on either side of the ark? How many angels are there that kept Adam and Eve out? These two angels, they say, you men of Galilee, why are you gazing into heaven? Well, hello? Why am I gazing into heaven? I mean, like Jesus just went straight up. I love this. Listen, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Come on, have a seat. Okay. Isn't that cool? Did you know Jesus one day is literally, did you know where this occurred? Do y'all know where he was standing when this happened? Come on, without looking at your Bibles. Mount of Olives. Did you know, we're told in Zechariah 14, he will come back and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And did you know what's going to happen to the Mount of Olives when his feet touch it? Anybody? It will split. Did you know there is a geological fault in the Mount of Olives? Now what's really amazing is when it splits open, there will be a city called Azel. And the fleeing Jews will flee into the city and hide from the wrath. There is no mention of Azel anywhere else in the Bible, but right there in Zechariah. Some hidden city. Did y'all know this? So they prophesied that Jesus is going to come again. But where did he go, anybody? Where did he go? He went up in the clouds. Where did he go? Cloud surfing? Come on, work with me here. All right, you don't. Bing, time up. Hebrews 1. Here's where he went. He ascended into heaven, kept going up higher and higher, and I believe, frankly, heaven is another dimension. I'm sorry, I don't believe heaven is in this space-time continuum. I think you can take a rocket ship, if it were possible, and go light speed. Can't really go light speed, because if you go the speed of light, your mass increases till you fill the universe. So, a little bit slower than the speed of light, because then time gets all twisted and weird. Anyway, so you get on the other side of the universe. 10 trillion years from now. It doesn't matter because you're in this time warp thing. You're just an hour later. You still haven't found heaven. You know what the cosmonauts said when they went up, the first cosmonauts in the early days of the space race? And the first time that, you know how John Glenn went around the Earth? He was the first one. When the cosmonauts, they said, we didn't find God up here. It's true. An atheist culture of communism. Now, I believe as soon as he disappeared through the clouds, he melded into the spirit world, which is another dimension. The spirit world is another dimension. There is another dimension, and it's the spirit dimension. It's a world just as valid. In fact, more valid. It's more real than this. It's more substantive than this one. This one has passed it away. The Bible says in Psalm 102, Hebrews 1, that he will fold this whole universe together like a man folds his cloak and puts it in the closet. That's it. And 2 Peter 3 says the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The whole universe is just going to burn up. And he says a new heaven, a new earth. You know, when you talk about alternate dimensions, I always think about Twilight Zone. But I really believe there is another dimension, and it is the spirit world. And you know what? At times, God will allow us to see into that dimension. How many of y'all have ever seen into that dimension? How many have ever heard from that dimension? Have any of y'all ever heard from the Lord? Have you ever discerned a demon? Have you ever discerned a demon? How about you ever heard or discerned an angel? You're looking into the dimension realm of the spirit world. Now, here we're told where Jesus went. God, in Hebrews 1, who in sundry times in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by the Son. God spoke all the way from Adam all the way to Jesus, and he said it all sums up with Jesus. Whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's what he did when he ascended. He got up there, and the Father had a seat, and he sat down. Jesus, right now, I'll show you where he is right now. In fact, wait, let's look at a few days after, just about a year or so after he did it. We'll show you a guy who saw him there. Acts chapter 7. They were stoning Stephen. Remember when they were stoning Stephen? He had this old chapter 7 as a sermon Stephen made against the Sanhedrin. Convicted him. So the way they responded was they killed him. And as they threw stones at Stephen to kill him, he had a vision, an open vision. Look at the vision. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now this is really cool. Jesus sat down, but you know what he did for his first martyr? The Son of God stood up. Is that cool? And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And man, they just closed their ears and killed him. So then Jesus sat back down. Let's look in Hebrews 7. verse 25, this is where he's been ever since. Look, you wonder where Jesus is. This is where Jesus, the body, the physical body of Jesus is right now. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Now, folks, where Jesus is right now is he is seated next to God the Father in the spirit world, interceding for you and I. That's what Jesus is doing right now. He is praying, talking to God the Father. God the Son and God the Father are discussing and talking about all that's going on here in the world. And the individual, there's a conversation going on between the Father and the Son concerning every one of us. Jesus talks to his Father about you. And what does he say? Well, you know, he gives us hints about the conversation. I've actually heard the conversation. Some of y'all know, in the summer of 90, I had this incredible vision dream. A dream vision. Where I actually heard the Son of God talking to the Father in the sky. It was the craziest thing because they were talking in tongues. I did not know a word they were saying. I heard the voice of the Son of God talking to the Father, and it was about new wine, and I did not know a word. It was in another language. But I knew he was talking about new wine. And a few minutes later, a bird landed on my head, and I felt the little talons. And that was when the Lord gave me an anointing, a fresh anointing, and we started the Friday meeting. He also, the latter part of the vision dream was I walked down the street, and there were words in front of the houses, persecution, misunderstanding, judgment, betrayal. Oh, joy. He was lining out the next 5th, that's been 16 years. Particularly the next 5. So Jesus is talking to the Father. And what is he saying? You know what he's saying? I really believe I have a hint. It's in Matthew 10. Where he said, if you confess me before men, okay, I'll confess you who? But if you deny me before men, I will what? Deny you to who? So we see a secret. That there's a conversation going on between the Father and Son in reference to you and I making a stand for righteousness in this world. When we make the stand for what's right, stand up for truth, confess Jesus Christ. That's not just talking about the day you're saved. It's talking about living a life of confessing, standing up for Jesus. When you live a life standing up for Jesus, you stand up for what's right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then guess what? Conversation goes on the heavenlies. The Son talks to the Father about it. And guess what the Father does? He sends the Holy Ghost. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, what the Father, that's the whole Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. When the Son sees we make a stand for righteousness and stand up for what's right, he says to the Father, Father says, go, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost comes, and there's an anointing. There's a power. There's a mantle. There's an equipping. There's a gifting. An empowerment to do the works of the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. And what Jesus is looking for is people who have the guts to stand up for what's right. Like I shared about that brother a little bit ago. He was intimidated to go to his own pastor because he knew there was anger. And he said, if I talk to my pastor, there would be an explosion. I said, then the anger in your pastor is the pastor of the church. That anger demon is the pastor of your church. And he got real quiet and he said, it is. Apparently no one had ever asked him that question before. I said, then brother, who in your church has the guts to, like Daniel, go in the lion's den and confront in meekness that brother who knows the Lord and loves the Lord, but is entrapped with a demon, and he's got sheep that are not being fed? You know what? If that brother has the guts to do it, and I hope he does, he will get more deliverance from that. He came for deliverance. I don't know what his deliverance need was, probably fear. I said, if you got the guts to go in that lion's den and meekly confront that pastor, God the Father and God the Son, God the Father, Jesus may stand up and Holy Ghost to go down and give me equipped and anointing. I tell you, that's what it's all about. God's just looking for people. You know me, people at work. God's probably, the Holy Ghost probably been prodding you about somebody at work. There's a situation going to work. Somebody's being less than honest. Someone is doing something in your job that you know is wrong and dishonest. Or maybe your boss is doing something that you have a check about and a lack of peace about. And the Holy Ghost is telling you, go, stand, and preach all the words of this life. That's exactly what the angel said to the apostles in the early day, books of chapter of Acts. And you're saying, no, but Lord, I might lose my job. I might lose my friends. I might lose my promotion, but Lord. And the Lord said, hey, I lost my life. And unless you lose your life, you'll not find it. But if you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. What's it all about? You are Jesus Christ in that situation. You've got to have the guts to go in there and stand up for what's right. Or you're going to chicken out, cow down, and somebody's going to go to hell. One time I was right out of college. Took me 11 years to get my undergraduate degree. Finally got that sucker started in 70. Finally got it in 81. Had a 7-year break, as I got to say. Anyway, right out of college, I went into sales. And I was in the construction business in sales, and I was with a brother, not a brother, I'm sorry, he wasn't a brother, but he was a salesman, and we went to New Orleans. We were selling concrete forming systems for high-rise skyscrapers, and that was the big thing in the early 80s. Man, if y'all remember any of y'all back, downtown Houston was nothing but tower cranes in the early 80s. The oil explosion. Oil boom. We were in New Orleans. And so we saw our clients, and that evening we went to the Café Du Monde. I love the Café Du Monde in New Orleans. My brother and I went there not long ago. The city's destroyed, but the Café Du Monde lives on. Praise God. Beignets and coffee. In fact, I'm going to take Blake there in a few weeks. He and I are going to go see the World War II Museum, and we're going to go to the Café Du Monde. I grew up in New Orleans, so I love that place. Anyway, we go to the Café Du Monde, me and this fella, and he has some friends meet us. Okay, fair enough. He has some friends meet us that he knew from New Orleans. This is in 1982. So we're in there, I'm coffee and donuts. Well, at the end, we're businessmen on a business trip. He put his friends down on the expense account for the coffee and donuts. And I saw him do it. And I remember thinking, that ain't right, because we didn't talk business with them. I'm a real tickler about that. I'll write things off all day long. But it has to be, I don't know if you know it, but our income tax system is a voluntary system. Did you know that? It's basically a matter of honesty and the fact that you might get audited and go to jail. But it is, and I feel Jesus in Christ himself said, pay unto Caesar which is Caesar's and to God which is God. And I feel my conscience bothers me. My conscience is my God when it comes to writing things off. And I couldn't do that. If it wasn't legitimate, I don't do it. I just have a conscience about that. Well, this brother did it, and it was dishonest. We're driving back the next day. We're about at Lafayette, halfway between New Orleans and Houston. And I had been, the Holy Ghost was on me the whole time. Tell him what you're feeling. And I just fought the Lord all the way to Lafayette. Because I thought, did you know there's a scripture that says he that rebukes a wicked man will get a blot. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to get a blot. But the Holy Ghost said, talk to him. So finally, we were talking. I said, look. He was an older gentleman, been in sales a long time. I was new. I said, I just want to tell you, I just feel like, forgive me, but what you did wasn't right. Because, you know, you wrote them off on the expense account, and yet that was not legitimate. I'm telling you, this demon came up. This anger, this rage, this like, what the? Whoa, I'm driving, you know. I mean, he turned to me and he said, you'll never make it in sales. You better just cursing me. And then he got real quiet. He was quiet all the way to Houston. I remember by the time we hit the Lake Charles, I began to sing a little hymn. And I felt good. I'd spoke the truth. Can you amen? I proved him wrong. You can be an integrity in the business world. You can walk in honesty. And you know, God's good. He's given me a good job now with investments and many hundreds of thousands of dollars with clients. And you know, you better have integrity to the core who you are. I recently was reading about an article, and it's interesting, about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, second richest man in the world. Bill Gates, the richest man. Warren Buffett, a few weeks ago, gave $31 billion to the Bill Gates Foundation. To the Bill Gates Foundation, it's a foundation of about $29 billion to, it's a charitable, what do you call it, philanthropy. Warren Buffett gave $31 billion. This is phenomenal. A $60 billion, biggest thing ever in the history of man. Well, the interesting thing about the article was I noticed as I read about the two men in their discussion, one thing they mentioned over and over and over was the word integrity. One may say with Bill Gates, where's that? You know, if you understand how he built. But, you know, as far as his business dealings in the sense of finances, there was an above boardness, and particularly with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is the greatest investor of our age. And because of the integrity of these men's business policies, I don't know about the acquisition of his software, but integrity in the business world, there was a great, large reward. I really believe integrity is what it's all about, folks. And that's what Jesus is looking at. He's looking at your heart. The Bible says he searches the thoughts of the intents of the heart. He knows what we're even intended to think. And I'm telling you what, when you decide to do the right thing, Jesus talks to the Father. Now look at what's going on right now in the heavenlies where Jesus is, Ephesians 1. See, when Jesus ascended up on high, listen, He is so far high that in Psalm 113 says he has to stoop down to look into heaven. Did you hear that? He is so high up, he has to stoop down to look into heaven. And here we're given a glimpse of how high he is. Ephesians 1, verse 21. No, verse 20. When he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, look at this, sat him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I like this. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that's named not only in this world but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet. Jesus is so high. There is no demon. There is no angelic being. There's nothing that's not under his feet. Seated high in the heavenlies. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul actually got to visit there one day. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I'll come to visions, revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body, I can't tell, or whether out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. By the way, he's talking about himself. And he's saying, man, this guy, myself, I don't even know if I was in my body or not. Such a one was caught up to what? The third heaven. He said, I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I can't tell. God knows how he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words. You know, it's interesting. That's exactly what I heard when I heard the Father, the Son talking to the Father. It was a language I never heard of before. He says, which it's not possible. The word's lawful, but it's not possible for a man to utter. And I don't remember. I remember the voice. To this, it's still in my mind. The voice. I didn't have a clue what he was saying. But I knew he was talking about me and the church to the Father. So Paul was caught up to something called the third heavens. Now, does that not logically deduce that there's possibly a second and a first heaven? And when you talk about a third heaven, well then what's number two and number what? Well, that's a legitimate question. And there is not clear scriptural answer to that. There are scriptural inferences that we can draw. In different places. And most scholars of the word have basically said the first heavens is this atmosphere that we live in, the heavenlies. Psalm 1 speaks about he made the heavens from the, remember, from his fingers, the stars. In fact, in Genesis 1, he says he made the heavens, he made the stars also. I love that. He just sticks in a little infinite amount of stars, he made them also. And the heavens, we're told, were for the glory of God. That's the first heavens. Well, where's the second heavens? Well, we have one hint of the second heavens. It's in Daniel 10. It's really about the only place. There's a couple of other little allusions I can show you. You kind of got to dig deep. The second heavens, we're given a hint in Daniel 10. Daniel went on a 3-week fast. It was a pleasant foods fast. He ate just enough to stay healthy, stay strong, but he ate nothing pleasant. It's a good fast. I believe fasting ought to be part of our life. Ever since I found out, a few months ago, that I had high cholesterol and blood pressure, I've had to go on a forced pleasant food fast. Saturday mornings are my favorite time to go to Shipley's Donuts and eat lard. I've only been to Shipley's Donuts once since the doctor said you have cholesterol. Now I eat food that's not quite as pleasant, but a whole lot better for me. I've also learned to fast more. Spend a few days where I just eat, stay away from pleasant things. Folks, it's good for you. And you know what it does? It opens you up to the heavenlies. Because Daniel fasted 3 weeks. And at the back end of the 3 weeks, an angel showed up. Verse 11, the angel said, "Oh, Daniel, a manly, greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for unto you I'm sent." And when he spoke the words, I stood trembling. Normally, when you stand before an angelic being from heaven, you will tremble. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chase yourself before God, your words were heard, and I'm comforting words." In other words, 3 weeks ago, when you began to fast, God heard, and he sent me. 3 weeks ago, he sent me to come and answer your prayer. But something happened, and it's taken me 3 weeks to get here. This is an angel from heaven. 3 weeks. Fortunately, Daniel hung in there fasting. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia." By the way, that's Iran. Did you think he's on the move again? "The prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes." That's a big, one of the big angels. Well, I understand Michael's one of the big boys standing up right next to God. God at some point said, "Look, which one was it, Akinda? Was it Gabriel? Or is he mentioned? The one that's speaking." And somehow after 3 weeks, God said, "Look, Michael, listen, you listen to me careful. He's having trouble getting through the second heavens. He needs some help." So Michael went down there, probably with a battalion of angels. And there was war. Did you know Revelation 12 said there was war in the heavens? There was a battle. Up in the heavenly realms, and in the second heavens, there was a battle. Angelic beings coming down, and Daniel praying up, and this battle going on in the second heavens. But with Michael's help, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I finally broke through. I've come to make you understand what should befall. And let me tell you something, folks. The entire 11th chapter, the entire 11th and 12th chapter is what the angel shared. Now listen, the entire 11th and 12th chapter, it is very appropriate for today. Ironically, the entire 11th and 12th chapter is like reading the book of Revelations. It's about end times. The 11th chapter is one of the most amazing chapters in the book. He literally said all of these events are going to happen from this point on. And historians have gone back. In fact, a lot of liberal theologians have absolutely believed Daniel could not have written that when he did, because how could he have known all those things were going to happen? Because it came to the angel. I mean, literally, all these historical events, incredible if you really... John MacArthur has done a wonderful analysis of chapter 11, if you can get that teaching. John MacArthur, he takes and goes into history from the time of Daniel all the way up. He talks about a lot of historical events. Alexander the Great, the breaking up of the Roman Empire, the Maccabees, all of this was in there. But all the way up to the end times of an Antichrist being, and then it zooms right past us into the future. Chapter 11 and 12, right past us, boom, out in the future, it talks about the Antichrist and the last 7 years, and exactly the battle plans of the Antichrist, and exactly when he comes here, this is going to happen, this will happen, and God's going to do this, and then there'll be the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus will come again. Amen. How many of y'all know the Prince of Persia did not want that word getting through? It was a 21-day battle going on. Because they knew Daniel was going to write that down, and we got it today. Anything of value takes a little struggle. Can you amen? People don't understand chapter 11 and 12 of Daniel. How rich it is. I mean, years I read through, I said, dude, what is this stuff? It's just like, my God, this just goes on and on. It's fascinating. The point I want to make tonight is the second heavens, folks. That's where the demonic, that's where the principality, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and ruler dominions and heavenly high places, Ephesians 6:10. It is where the entire hierarchy of the demonic and the satanic reigns. Satan was thrown from, somehow he dwells in the heavenlies. He hasn't yet come on the earth. We're told in Revelation 12, when he comes on the earth, he'll come down with great wrath. That's in the midpoint of the 7 years. I think he'll come and I literally inhabit the body of the Antichrist. But he's right now in the heavenly realms orchestrating battle plans against the world. He's the god of this world, and he has his puppets. And he runs the world. The prince of the power of the air runs the world. And he runs most of the church. There is a real spiritual warfare out there. And so when we pray, I really believe this is exactly why God gave us speaking in tongues, because demons don't understand tongues. And when you speak in tongues, it goes right on through, and they look, whoa, what is this? They don't know what it is. I know, I've cast out demons, and I had demons manifest, and I spoke in tongues. I remember this demon said, shut up, I don't know what you're saying. That's what it said. I know, neither do I, but God does. For in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Okay, remember I started tonight by talking about you have a weapon at your disposal at any moment. The which, if you will wield it, you can see great things in the kingdom. You want to know what your weapon is? The teaching. We're now airborne. We're found our altitude. We're beginning to see the airport. So please lift your trays and pull your seat back up. I always like to say that. Somebody thinks, is he going to preach all night? No. Even now, we're headed for landing. Understanding what I said tonight, what is this weapon that we have? You ready? Psalm 149. This is the last place we're going to look, I think. Psalm 149. I wanted to build up something behind this scripture and let you understand that in John 4, it says God the Father seeks those that will worship him in spirit and truth. God is looking for people that will worship him. Why? Because God needs the prayers of the saints. We're told in Revelations that the angel brought a big bowl. It was the prayers of the saints. I don't understand this, but when we pray, when we sing, when we worship, when we do something, goes up in heaven and it releases angelic power. I don't understand that, but that's the way he set the universe up. You have not because you ask not. When you pray, something is released. God, a lot of times, will have us pray so stuff can happen. I've got a lot of examples of that in my own life. We've had the privilege in this church over the last 19 and a half years, a couple of times, to have had part in significant world events through intercession. A couple of times. At least three times. Through prophetic intercession, spiritual warfare, significant affecting world events. Praise God. Through prayer and intercession. I want to show you the weapon. Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Just for your note's sake, in John 12:31, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's the judgment written. John 12:31. The cross determined the judgment. God judged the world through the cross. He declared the world guilty, and then he exonerated all those that would believe. And it was at the cross that they cast out the prince of the power of the air. Granted, he's still there, but illegitimately so. Here's the teaching tonight. Praise the Lord on high. You have a weapon in the spirit world that when you praise God in the highest, something is loosed in the lowest. Jesus put it another way. Whatever you bind on earth shall be, the Greek is, shall be what has been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven. You can loose and bind in the heavenlies by praise and worship. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Look what happens as the high praises of God. You execute vengeance. You bind kings. You strap up and wrap up principalities. This is spiritual warfare language. You are engaging in warfare by high praises. Something is happening in the spirit world. And that's what I think would happen with Daniel. He wasn't just fasting, but I believe he was praying. It's fasting and praying. How many of y'all believe he was praying? When we worship God in the high places, when we go all the way up to the highest place and worship him, something is loosed from the heavenlies onto us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. God the Father turns the floodlight, the halogen, on in our light. Light shines on us when we worship in the highest. Light beams in our spirit. And you know what? You can do that at any moment of the day. And every devil from hell will try to keep you from doing that. Every demon will try to keep you from worshiping God in the highest, because they know that that's your weapon. Jehoshaphat was surrounded by enemies. Outnumbered. Incredibly so. 2 Chronicles 20. They didn't know what to do. So not knowing what to do, he fasted. Call everybody to a fast. That always makes sense. Get weak so you can get strong. So they're fasting, the whole nation. And all of a sudden they had a congregational meeting. And the Holy Ghost hit this one guy. Bam-o! The guy stood up and prophesied to the whole nation. And everybody fell on their face. They knew it was God. It's one thing when it hit the leader, but apparently this guy, they thought, man, that had to be God. In fact, Jehoshaphat, later said, believe in the Lord and believe his prophets. And the Lord said, stand still and see the victory, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So I had that, this little motley crew and this enormous surrounding of nations. So Jehoshaphat sets out to battle the next day, just like the Lord said, just a little flock of sheep, people. And you know what he does? He puts the praise team in front. I mean, you can read it, 2 Chronicles 20. The guitar players. I guess they didn't have, I guess you would have an accordion if you, you know. All the praise, tambourine players, trumpeters, put them out in front. And you can read it. They praise the Lord for his mercy. They praise the Lord on high. And as they went praising, worshiping God, all of the enemies turned on each other and killed each other, and they were all dead when they got there. And it took them, what, 3 days just to pick the spoil off their bodies. Whoa. They praised the Lord on high. Paul and Silas were thrown in the lowest dungeon. Why? For doing that most unsociable thing. They cast out a demon. Acts 16 tells you about the wonderful reception of the deliverance ministry. Nothing's changed. They ran him out of town, beat him with, threw him in the lowest dungeon, slammed the door, rot with the rats. Yeah, that kind of rot with the rats. I guess it would be rat rot. And they're in there. As far as they knew, they'd never come out. Hanging in horrible. This was not a 21st century prison with a ping pong table and access to a prison library. No. We're talking chained to the wall, leprosy. For all we know, maybe other skeletons of rotting bodies next to them. And after a while, Paul turns to Silas and says, Silas, what was that hymn we were just singing the other day down by the lake, you know, when we were there with that prayer group? Silas says, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about the hymn. Paul says, well, why don't we go ahead and praise the Lord on high? And they began to sing praises to God right there. And do you know at that moment, that shot right through the second heaven to the third, and the Father sent an earthquake. And it was a surgical strike earthquake, because the earthquake only broke the bonds of all the prisoners. That was cool. It was an earthquake, and the only thing that broke was all the prison's bonds. Oh, that's a preaching passage. You know what I believe? Again, remember I said Jesus talks to the Father, and he sends the Holy Ghost? When the Holy Ghost comes, the angels come. I'm of the personal opinion that the angels bear the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit. I think they're intimately entwined. The Holy Ghost is a person. Don't forget, he's God. But he comes with the angels. And I can show you in the scriptures that Jesus, when he comes again, do you know Jesus will come this one with who? Who's he going to come with? The angels! Shoot, the Holy Ghost got to come with the angels all the time. Jesus come back with the angels. On the chariot of fire. Well, when the Holy Ghost comes, the angels come. And I bet you some big angels soared right through the second heavens. Ha ha. Got down there and rattled and shook. Broke loose the prisoners. Just in that field of Jehoshaphat. Those angels just pull out their swords and slaughtered. Folks, that weapon is available to you and I at any time. For we are in the New Testament. Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest in the Old Testament. John the Baptist. We have a privilege because we are in Christ. And I didn't tell you this, but Ephesians 2 says we are, listen, you ready? Ephesians 2 says we are, you ready? Seated with him where? Did you hear that? We are there with him because we are in Christ. It's a mystical thing, but in your spirit, when you to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, you will wake up. If you die, you will open your eyes in the third heaven. Praise God. Amen? We say first, second, and third. It really is dimensions. But we have to do that to kind of understand, like a layer cake. But it really is dimensions. And we are seated with him, and that means every principality and power is under our feet. And so here it is, right here. If you will let the high praises of God be in your mouth, a two-edged sword will appear in your hand. You know, the best way to do deliverance for others, for yourself, or an intercession is to start off with worship. Start off with praise. Get into high praises. Thank God for speaking in tongues. I don't know what the Baptists do. How do you get in the Spirit when you don't speak in tongues? Bless them, Lord. All the Presbyterians, or whoever it is that's not filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember I was saved in July 10th, baptized in the Holy Ghost on August 24th. I was only saved and not filled with the Holy Ghost, but a month and a half. I don't know how you do it without speaking in tongues. Well, God, it's good to be here. Praise you. Thank you. It's so good. You're good. I'm good. I'm not good. You're good. And you're better than me. And great, wonderful, glorious, magnificent, stupendous, glorious. I said that. I like tongues. Amen? And the demons don't understand tongues. And every demon from hell is going to hit you on this area. Because they know that if they keep that sword out of your hand, you are no threat. With the high praises of God? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, Psalm 34, verse 1. It is our weapon. And it's high praises. The other day I was sitting there having a praise break. And I began to worship the Father. I said, Father, I thank you for Jesus. Because he's made a way for me to come before you because of the blood. And Father, I worship you in the glory of your highness and sang in tongues. Jesus, I praise you for the wonderful way which you lead me to the Father. In your mercy, Father, Jesus, in your mercy, send the Holy Ghost. I need the Comforter. I need the Convictor. I need the Guider. Amen? The Discerner. The Gifter. The Healer. That's the secret. Worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father sends the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense tonight, folks? Do we have a weapon available at all times? Anytime you want. Day and night. In fact, you know he says, let them sing aloud upon their what? Their beds. Middle of the night. Now, if you're married, you don't have to sing too loud to wake your spouse up. Or go to the other room. Oh, you know what? I praise God in my mind. I can sing high praises in my mind. Have you ever done that? Can you speak in tongues in your mind? Kind of weird. You're not using your tongue. But I've done it. I've done it. And it's powerful. And it shatters demons. And scatters the powers of darkness. Jesus. Jesus. Let's all pray. You got a pick? I want to do my guitar.
The Lord reminded me of something in the middle of all that.
Crazy.
Right in the middle of all that, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. That was cool. In 1971, I had just gotten saved, and I got my lottery number to go to NAM. Lottery number? Some of y'all remember that? Fortunately, my lottery number was such I didn't have to go to NAM. Praise God. My whole family was in the Republican Party. My parents were very involved with in the Nixon administration. In fact, my little brother even dated the next president's daughter, believe it or not, Gerald Ford's daughter. Very involved politically. All my brothers were getting involved in politics, young Republicans, Louisiana. My mother was involved. My dad, I never forget, that summer of 71, after I didn't have to go to Nam, I went and had a walk, and the Lord just brought that back to my mind. I remember thinking, you know, my family's gone political, but I'll have more effect in this world if I'm maxing for Jesus. And right then, I'm a political animal. I still study, but I've never pursued the political route since, except I vote. I have no faith in the political system, ultimately. And you know, the Lord just brought that back to my mind. Because as sons and daughters of God, we can affect political events. Can you amen? We can wield authority in the spiritual world against the powers of darkness behind the political figures and have far more effect by intercession and praise. And I think the Lord did something tonight. I think this was his whole plan. Something has to break. Lord, we pray in your mercy that you would stir many intercessors in these days across the land, across the nations, intercessors to intercede and bind the powers of darkness over the Prince of Persia. In your mercy, Jesus, wake people up in the nights. Father, loose a wave of intercession to wage war against the powers of demons behind this great third world war that seems to be mushrooming up. Bring down that madman in Iran. Save him or bring him down, Jesus, in the spirit. I speak a blessing now over all of us. Peace. And then his angels. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.